Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie. Okay, welcome back to your Spiritual Besties. It's me and Rashida. Hey, Rashida.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Woo, woo.
We are back and ready to chat about something that is very interesting to me, only because when I first stepped into the spirituality space, it was like this buzzword. And I'm like, oh, manifestation. Is it magic? Like, how can I do magic? Like, what is this manifestation thing? So, you know, I'm the researcher, and I'm like Googling and doing all the things. And there are so many things that came up for this, but in doing this for a while and realizing who I am and how I manifest things into this world, I'd love to chat with you, Lauren, about like manifestation and how, you know, our besties can really manifest the things that they want and some of the things that we've come to do or come up with to allow this to happen in our lives. So, Lauren, what is manifestation? Like, what is this word that gets thrown around so often?
Yeah, so for me, this has really evolved over time. The first time I think I was introduced to it was when I saw The Secret, like, I don't know, so long ago.
Mm-hmm. I actually watched that. I was researching, and that was one of the things that was thrown around. So,
So I saw it a long time ago, and it was definitely my first introduction to like your thoughts create your reality. So I found it really intriguing, but I'll say like having put it into practice over many years now and seen it in action, I think that it's a lot more nuanced than what is presented in that movie or in that book. Even I don't know her name, but the author at this point like says, hey, this is incomplete. Mm-hmm. So in my practice, I have a few steps that I found work for me. So I wanted to go over those today. And I thought that in those steps, we could really go over how like this actually looks like in practice for both of us and get into more of like the nuance for things, because I don't know. I think it's such a buzzword and it's so appealing, right? Because like who wants to work for what they want?
Yeah, we just want it to magically appear. Like we say it and it happens. So
yeah, and we want what we want.
And we like, want. Exactly. And you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because it's one of those things too that goes around the spiritual community. Like we don't work hard. We don't have to work hard. We don't have to work hard. We don't have to work hard for what we want. But then again, you know, we are human beings and we do have to do. So I would love to like really dive into this. So we don't work hard in the literal sense of what we think about when we're like working this hard 9-to-5 job, but what is it, you know, what is it that we do to get the things that we want and bring things into our life that are aligned for us? So
for sure. Also in the spiritual space, and not to like knock anyone necessarily, but you know, we see things through the lens of social media a lot, with just like such a small window into people's worlds. And you see people who promote manifestation and they're showing like their cars and their houses and, you know, all these like physical material things that they've manifested, and no like shame, no problem with that at all. But I don't know, it can appear like super selfish, which I think like for those of us who are into spirituality, like that's not really where most of us are coming from, a selfish lens. And if you're entering into spirituality purely for selfish reasons, like is manifestation going to work? Yeah, maybe it's going to work, but is that for like the good of humanity? Like how can we wield this tool, in a way that really serves us and serves everyone? So I think that's something we can get into today too, because it's kind of a missing part of the conversation a lot of times. And honestly, like if I was brand new to spirituality and I was only introduced to it through Instagram, I think I would be really turned off by a lot of the content that I see. So I'm hoping that we can maybe normalize this for people and like just broaden the conversation a little bit. How does that sound?
Absolutely. I'm over here nodding when you said that, because I do like material things. Like, who doesn't like material things? But for me, all of the flashy things that I've seen when it comes to manifestation had been a turnoff for me, because that's not what I'm about. That's not what I want. And just like when we talked about spirituality, like, manifestation is a very personal journey as well. And I think it's nice to see what others have and what others have manifested in their lives, as a way for you to like see that it's possible for you. Because when we get into this first step, being able to like really see is going to really help you start that manifestation journey. So yeah, Lauren, let's dive into this. Let's do it.
Yeah. So I have 5 steps to manifesting. And yeah, we'll talk about, actually, before we get into the first one, let's talk about like set and setting. So when we like to manifest, because I don't get into it in these 5 steps, but you can manifest anytime, but some potent times to do it are like at the first of the year. A lot of us do like visioning for the new year, and new moons. That's often a time that is very, very potent for manifesting. Like, full moons we can use to sort of let things go, take inventory, see what we can release. New moons are a really great time to bring in the new. So you can use that, or you can use practices every single day, which I'll talk about. I do. They're really built into my lifestyle now. Anything to add to that, Rashida?
No, I'm right there with you. I'm so glad you brought up like the potent times in order to like manifest, because when I first started like following the moon cycle and heard about like new moon rituals and full moon rituals, I was so confused. Like, what do I do on a new moon? What do I do for a full moon? When is the best time to do what? And so, yes, the new moon is very, very powerful for that. At first you're like, but there's no moonlight, but yes, it's there. It's still there. So, Lauren, I'm really excited about this okay. conversation.
Sweet. All right. So step number one is visualize your manifestation. And this can look different for different people. So it might be in great detail, and it might be something more vague. Like, I want to feel this way, instead of like, it needs to look like this, 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 and this. And there are different ways to visualize too. So I'd love to know, Rashida, like, what is your visualization process?
Yeah. So for me, I am a vague or a non-specific manifester. And just by trial and error, I've figured that out. But when I visualize things, I go with like a feeling of what I want. I think about, you know, even like the business that we're manifesting now, I have pre-miles, I have been visualizing what it would feel like to have this business in our property, what it feels like to, you know, walk outside and see people enjoying our space. I don't do really well with specifics. And for me, specifics really like bog me down. It's like just too much in my mind to like have to figure out. And so having like a general idea of what I want is how I manifest things. You know, when I was on this journey to like really find out what is my purpose, like, I had a general idea of what it would look like to be living my purpose, to nurture people. That's what I am. I'm a nurturer. I didn't have the specific idea. And then as I was doing the work with myself and tapping into other things, oh my goodness, coaching came around. And it wasn't so much, you know, I'm going to be a coach right away. But when I tapped into the feeling and I got into the training, there were just so many things that just lit me up, and it just felt right. So for me, I'm a non-specific manifester. I have to just kind of sit in the feeling and just kind of have like an idea of what I want, but I have to be specific, not so much specific, but I have to tune into this like on a daily basis, right? I've never really been good with vision boards either. I'll make a vision board and I'll leave it and I won't look at it. So for me, I like to, a practice of mine when I visualize is, when I first wake up in the morning, I sit down and I sit up in bed and I just sit there and just think about how it would feel to have the things that I'm calling in, the things that I want, and then also sit in the feeling of the things that I've already called in, because, you know, we think manifestations are for these big, big things, and they're not, right? Like how I want my family to feel. That was a big thing. I felt a little disconjointed before in my family. I didn't feel like we were connected in the way that I wanted. But now, you know, having these connections, having this time with my husbands, I've manifested that. Obviously, we worked on those things, but I felt those feelings first. So, yeah. How about you, Lauren? How do you?
So in a few different ways, as far as like specific and non-specific goes, I know according to my human design, I'm supposed to be a specific manifester, but I certainly use both. I definitely think about how I want to feel, and I think about what that looks like. And I feel like when I keep a balance of both of those things, it keeps me from being like super rigid. But also it keeps me on a path, if that makes sense. So if I have that specific idea in my mind of how I want something to look, or how I want it to manifest, then I know like how to get there. If I'm going more according to feeling, then it gives me the flexibility to get there in different ways, I guess. So it leaves some room for the universe to do its thing. So that's kind of me. I'm like a flexitarian when it comes to manifesting. But I actively do it in different ways. So sometimes it's a little bit more, like maybe I'm pushing the stroller and I'm like visualizing something in my mind. So that's like a really casual manifestation practice for me. I do vision boards at the beginning of every year. I've done this the last few years, and I've never liked doing them, like where you're cutting out magazines and making a poster. I've never known like how I'm supposed to find the right kind of magazines to like actually find the kind of pictures that I want, you know, like, cause I'm not trying to manifest like specific car and house. And, you know, that's not really usually like what's on my heart. Mm-hmm. Not that those things are bad, but it's more like, yeah, I need a little bit more control over the kind of pictures that I'm finding. So I have done mine digitally the last few years, and I've created basically a home screen or a lock screen for my phone with my vision board for the year. And then I see it every time I look at my phone, which let's be honest is a lot.
Right. I love that. How do you go about making that?
I would use Canva.
Okay. Awesome. You're so creative. I love it.
Yeah. I'll use like a collage on Canva, and then, you know, it's such a great tool because you can like type in a word. Like I typed in ease. I actually made my vision board for 2023 yesterday. So we're recording this like at the end of December, although I know it's playing in January, and, I typed in like ease, and all these like a picture of a feather came up. And so I like it because it can be like real symbolic.
Oh, it's very symbolic. I love that idea. Yeah.
Yeah. And I found like for my vision board for 2022 that there are things I put there in a symbolic way, in like a real non-specific way, for instance. And they came up in specific ways throughout the year. And I'd look at it and be like, oh my God, like that actually happened. Like I have a fairy on there, and I think I put it on there just as like magic, but I did like a spirit guide meditation recently with Nikki Novo, and she had you like meet a spirit guide, and I had a fairy pop up, and I was like, oh my God, that's been on my vision board all year.
That's amazing.
So I do love that, but I can't sit and like cut everything out and like look for everything. I need to have like a little bit more control over it, but I love having it on my phone because it's not somewhere where like everyone can see it. Like I get to keep some things to myself, but I do get to see it all the time because it's on my phone. So I'd use that. I also use like a breath and meditation practice. There's a Kundalini practice I really love where I do like breathing, and then I visualize, you know, whatever I'm manifesting. And then I like really put it through my third eye and put it out into the world and like see all the steps to get there. I like that practice a lot. Gemma actually loves when I do it too. It has like fists in the air and you do breath of fire. So it's like...
Oh, does she do it with you?
She'll like run around with her fists up, like doing the breath and fire. It's really cute. She doesn't know what I'm doing, but she really likes the practice. It's with Kia Miller, and it's on Yoga Glow. I love that one. Like if she even sees the thumbnail come up for that on like the TV or my phone, she puts her arms up and starts doing the breathing practice. And then lastly, besides like some journaling during like full moon ceremonies or something like that, or moon ceremonies, I do like prayer every night. So I pray for the things I want for myself and my family and the world. So I'm continually bringing up these manifestations so that they're my point of focus and they keep me on track. So that's kind of my method.
Yeah, I love that. And I like how you have like incorporated that in like your everyday. I know for me, starting off, it was really like, oh, the new moon, let me like really hit hard on the new moon, right? To work on my manifestations. But developing that visualization every morning has been a game changer. And do you know the science behind like visualizing?
I do, but I would love for you to explain it.
Yeah, no, I am no expert, but when I was researching, obviously, it, you know, knowing that my brain already thinks that I have those things or the things are already there, is really the science behind it. That's like the cut and dry, like you visualizing these things, your brain doesn't know the difference of you having it or not having it. And which is amazing when you think about the act of manifestation, your body, your brain already knows that it has it. It already feels that it's there, especially if you're doing these visualizations. I know we weren't talking about cars, right? But let's just take the car, for example. Like you want this. I don't know. What's a nice car, Lauren? I don't know.
Like, let's say like a Mercedes. I don't know.
Okay. Okay, great. You can obviously tell like not about the cars, but
car people.
This Mercedes, right? Let's say like it's red and it's like a two-seater. Never would have a two-seater with kids, right? But two-seater, and like you were sitting there, you're behind the wheel of this amazing car. And let's say it's like a, what is that, convertible? And you're like visualizing your hands on the wheel and the wind hitting your face. You might think it's stupid initially, but your brain doesn't know the difference. And for that, I think that is where the magic is. You know, when we talk about manifestation, you are already telling yourself, your body, your brain, that you have this thing. And so the work is, right, just like allowing it, feeling, having those feelings to come up for you, because what's going to happen is your body already knows, like scientifically, your brain already knows you have this, or doesn't know the difference that you have this. So there's no hard work behind it, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's how a lot of athletes train these days because the science backs it up. And I don't have like a study in front of me right now.
But right.
I know like a lot of like high performance coaches have their athletes visualize the outcome because it's as though their body is practicing it over and over. And it can even make like physiological changes in an athlete's body. So it's very, very cool. How, yeah, by simply like imagining something or visualizing it, it's as though it's happening. And it's the same as like, not to get too deep into this, but lucid dreaming, for instance. You know, if you're flying in your dream, like your brain doesn't know the difference between you flying in real life and flying in the dream. Like you're flying as far as your brain knows.
Yeah. And which is amazing. Like it's like one of those things that's like, really? Like, I think we're so used to like having like these tangible things or living in a world where things have to be so tangible. But I mean, having the research there and having people like say, no, seriously, like just think and visualize. It gives a lot of power back to you and what you want to create for yourself.
Well, yeah. And I want to add to that, like whether or not you are actively manifesting, you're manifesting.
You're manifesting. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So if you are constantly going to like worst case scenario in your brain, and not consciously, but maybe unconsciously, just think about what you might be manifesting. And I'm not saying, I do want to say this clearly, like the bad things in your life or the hard things in your life aren't all your fault. But we can harness our mind in a really powerful way that can bring back some control.
Absolutely. And you know what, you know of, it might not be you, but you know of people in your life that every time you turn around, it's always something happening. There's always some type of negative outcome or something negative that they're going through. And then you have to like ask the question, like, how are they talking to themselves? What are they speaking into the universe? Because whether people believe it or not, like, our words have so much power over our lives. And whether, like you said, you were actively speaking the things that you want or actively speaking the things that you don't want, it's happening. And the universe has no other way but to bring the things that you are attracting, and you are attracting those through your thoughts and through your voice. So I am right there with you. And it's really funny, Lauren, I know we're going to get into the next couple of steps, but when we talk about manifestation, I would say, like, these affirmations, right? Like, I would say money flows to me and through me. I would say that all the time when I first started doing this work. And I realized I have to be a little bit more specific in the things that I say, because money does flow to me, but it also flows through me. Like, I am very generous with the money that comes to me. It always comes, like, I'm always taken care of, but I'm like, okay, let me, like, change my wording. So just a little word of caution, like, when you really start speaking those things out loud and saying it every day, like, these affirmations, they do hold power, especially when you sit in that feeling of belief. But make sure, like, your words are a bit accurate, because I do want to have the abundance come to me, but I also want to, like, hold on to some of that abundance as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's a good, good segue for point number two of, like, really how we do this. So we don't just think about what we're manifesting. So step two is, don't just think about what you're manifesting. Allow your body to feel the emotions and sensations as though your manifestations are already reality, which is something Rashida already spoke to a bit. But in other words, embody your manifestation. So you can say money flows to me all you want, but if you don't believe it and your body doesn't believe it, then you're not really doing the work. So this step really calls to something similar to, like, Abraham Hicks' work. So if you're not familiar with Abraham Hicks, it's Esther Hicks, and Abraham is, like, beings that she channels, and they talk a lot about, like, law of attraction, but they talk a lot about becoming a vibrational match for what you are manifesting in your life. So your vibe is created by, like, your embodiment. So you're not just thinking it, because it's not integrity, like, in integrity with the rest of your body. Like, everything needs to be in integrity, the thoughts, the emotions, the feeling, and that creates the vibe, and then like attracts like.
Yeah, I actually love Abraham Hicks. And what I love doing is listening to them in the morning. And when people are asking how to get certain things, they almost are like, they tell you to, like, just shut off your mind, like, shut off your mind, sit in that feeling, be in that vibration, because the more you try to outthink, you're thinking of the things you don't want, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just love how they talk about that. And when you like really peel away all the layers and all of the, you know, like, take away the beings and the channeling and all this stuff, like, really the power is within you to just know that it's already there. And I think that's the beauty in the manifestation. Like, it's already there. It's the universe is already making a way for it to happen. And you just have to get out of the way and allow. And by allowing that to happen, or just doing the things every day to get you there, the visualizations, and not just saying, I want this in words, but in mind and body, like, in spirit, like, your soul. And that's why I think, to really being able to tap into your soul and what your soul wants is gonna help with that manifestation, because it's within alignment for you as well. Like, you can get all the things you want, but if it's not aligned for you, it might come a bit harder. Right.
Yeah. I would say, if we are going to add, like, another step to this, like, let's say step zero, it would be like getting clear on what your desires even are. Right.
Yeah.
And what desires are aligned for your soul. You know, it's not like what society wants you to have or what you think you should have, or it's not about status. It's about, like, your dharma, your purpose.
Yes.
You know, and it becomes a lot easier.
It does. And you know, I think that's the biggest key too, and manifestations and people actually seeing this work for them in a really, not that everything has to be quick, but a, you know, a more easeful way is taking that time to go within, because we're always looking at the next person. You know, we come from these societal groups that, oh, you have to have the Mercedes, or you have to have this, or you have to have that. So obviously, we think we have to aspire to these things to quote unquote make it or be whatever. I don't know. I'm not even a part of this world anymore, but you know, you have to have all these things. But when you like quiet all that chatter and sit with yourself and get clear, like Lauren says, it just makes things so much more, one, magical. Things come in a magical way and just easeful. And that's why we're really passionate about Dharma work, because we can say we want things all day, but you know, have you listened? What does your soul say? Like, what really and truly, like, what does it say?
I'd
And
say
you'll
like if you don't know yet, that's okay. It can come with time and practice and with help. I also want to say like the embodiment piece here. If you're finding that difficult, that's okay. That might be because you're at the beginning of your journey. I know when I started doing affirmation work, which was when I was like hospitalized for an eating disorder when I was 17. The affirmations they taught me just didn't like they didn't feel real to me. Like, I love my body, I love myself. I didn't believe that. So it felt really like fake for me to say that. So for instance, if you're having like a lot of money blockages and you start using these money affirmations or visualizations, you might not get to the place where you're like fully embodying that yet. But I would say like stick with it until you can get to that place. Or you can kind of create a little bridge. And this is from Gabby Bernstein's work, actually. So instead of saying like, I'm abundance, limitless abundance flows to me, because that might not feel right, you can say, I am willing for limitless abundance to flow to me. And that's like just a little tiny tweak of the language, but willing means that like you're open to it,
I
right?
love
Even if
that.
you're not quite there yet.
I love that.
We could do a whole other episode just on affirmations. But yeah, just know if the embodiment's not quite there that here yet, that's okay. And it's something to work toward. It definitely wasn't there for me in the beginning. And now it's something that comes very naturally and easily for the most part, because I've had years of practice.
And Lauren, before we go into the next one, I just wanted to ask you, for anyone that's listening that's, new to this, when you say embody, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean that every part of you is working together in integrity, meaning like you're taking what's on the inside and moving it to the outside. So if you think about like your favorite actor and you're watching them act, like you forget that they're acting because they are so embodied in that character. They are being that, they aren't acting that. So not that we're acting like as people, but when you're like truly being, so like there's like a full knowing in your body, that's when you're in embodiment. So embodiment, and we'll get to action, but it involves a lot of action. So it's not just like I'm a queen and the money's flowing to me. Like, what are you doing to get the money there? But I'm skipping ahead. Anything you want to add about embodiment?
No, you answered that perfectly.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So step three, I think this is what's missing a lot of times from manifestation work, but okay, we've found out now. You're a powerful manifester, right? What are you using that power for? Step three is use your power to serve humanity. What would you like to manifest for humanity and the earth? And I would say, we'll say this comes a lot easier if you've done the work to know what your soul wants, because your soul is going to want what's best for humanity, because it's your soul, it's divine. If you're coming from like a very egoic place, you're gonna just want what's for you, and not for everybody else. What do you think of this step?
Yeah, no, I fully agree with this. And as you're saying that, when I was having the my affirmation is a part of my manifestation practice for abundance, that was my idea behind through me. You know, when I'm like, oh, money flows to me and through me because I want to be able to like share, you know, any type of abundance that I have, you know, whether it's money, whether it's, you know, my time, whatever. So I do still need to tweak it because I have such a giving heart. And that's just who I am by nature. But I really feel like when we tap into that space, one, like you said, with tapping into what our soul wants, the things that we want for ourselves are naturally going to serve humanity in some type of way. So again, you know, I feel like this theme is like really getting back to that like square zero, like really tapping into who you are, what you want, what you've been called here to do, because in doing that, you are going to ask for the things and manifest the things that are for your life, for you. But in the grand scheme of things, it's going to help humanity, like for us and in our business and what we're trying to do. Yeah, you know, it's so that we can bring abundance home. It's so we can bring Daniel home and not have to work for someone else. But this thing that I'm going to be sharing more this year about is not only for us. It's, you know, it's to serve our community and others. And it's just so special how it aligns when you actually get clear on what it is you came here to do.
Absolutely. I want to add to that. Like, sometimes it can feel selfish, I think, for people with big hearts to want to manifest more money. But, like, don't we want the people with the biggest hearts to have the most money?
Amen. Yes. And also too, like I also feel like that's another thing that like you have to work through, and that can be like a completely different episode as well. But the word money, like, okay, so abundance was thrown around a lot when I first stepped into spirituality. I'm like, yeah, I want to be abundant. It's like almost like we were afraid to say money, but you know, it's really that's how the world works right now. We have to have that exchange to do the things and bring the things into our lives and to serve humanity and humankind. So not being afraid to want that money. And I don't think it's selfish. I don't think it's wrong to say money. And I don't think it's selfish to say, I want a lot of money. Like I want to be able to do the things that I want, one for my family, but also for my community. And I can't do that by like meekly asking for donations or like, you know, help or not going out and like setting a price on the services that I offer. Like I have to do that. That is what's going to have money flow to me and through me for mankind, you know, for humankind, serving the best way I can.
Absolutely. So I want to shift this one just a little bit for a moment to talk kind of about manifestation on a collective level. So the more layers of conditioning, the more layers of oppression, the more like shared reality that's false that we have, the more we're like together manifesting whatever this is that we're in right now. Which is why it's so important to visualize something different, like for humanity and for ourselves. So know that, like, if you grow up in poverty, we're not saying like just think about more money and it's gonna flow to you. Or, you know, if you have a lot of ancestral trauma, whatever it might be, if you're in a war zone, can these techniques work? Like, yes, but know that you are steeped like in. In an area or maybe a culture where a lot of people are sharing a specific reality that they're manifesting. So just know, like, we're not saying, like, oh, it's so easy, just do this, do that, and you'll get exactly what you want. That, like, we are all tied together. So individually, the more that we can, like, tap into this work and turn it on, the more it will make a difference. Does that make any sense?
Oh, absolutely. Like when you said that, what came to mind is a conversation I had with a cousin and this might maybe be hard for some people to hear or not, but I shared with her, you know, how she came across to me. And I used the word aggressive, and it was triggering for her. And she didn't realize it was a trigger at first, but it was triggering for her because all of her quote unquote working life, Black women have been told that they were aggressive. And you don't say that to another Black woman. And you know, I essentially got talked to. Like, I wasn't a Black female myself. But that's where I feel like you're coming from, Lauren. Like, that's not my reality. Even when I was in corporate America, could I have felt things were a little different because of the color of my skin? Absolutely. But I chose to have a certain outlook or reality or process. And that was what my reality was, right? I didn't look into the inequality of my skin color. And I'm not saying that I was bypassing anything, but because I wasn't actively looking for those things, if they did come my way, yes, I noticed it. But for the most part, my reality wasn't that of race. It just wasn't. And so I feel like we all have our different, you know, things that we go through. But yes, like, if you're in an area where it's heavily, you know, there's a lot of race talk and there's a lot of, you know, division, then yes, it can be harder to look past those things. But if you are actively making that a part of your reality every day, if those are your thoughts, if that's what you're thinking about every single day, then that is all you're going to see. Whereas if you choose to see something else, choose to believe something else, then that is what's going to be there. That is what's going to be in the forefront of your mind. So to your point, Lauren, yes, these things can work for us. These things will work for us. But we also have to know, one, our audience, where we come from, and the work we're trying to do. And that's why it's really important to you. Once you get with yourself on a soul level, like, some of the areas and places and people that you're around might not align with you anymore. So when that happens, you get taken out of that reality and brought into the one that you are trying to actively create.
Yeah, you're jumping timelines.
Yes.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing your personal experience with us. And I just want to say, like, I see you, and it's valid, and you know, I really, really respect and admire you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's talk about number four, and this one, I'll also say it's something that needs to be talked about more. So number four, let your vision become action. A-Z-T-I-O-N. Action. This is what was missing from The Secret. So while you might be co-creating with spirit, nature, or others, which can require patience and quote unquote being, there are small actions you can take every day toward your personal and collective dreams. So what can you do?
Yeah. So it's so funny. And I'm so glad you have this in this step, because when I was looking into manifestation and trying to like get the things that I want, I'm like, all right, I just speak it. I believe it. And I just sit back and let it happen. Like, it's just going to come to me. Yes and no, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there is that action piece. But again, if we go back to step zero and getting aligned with who we are in our soul, like, the action behind the things that we're doing to get what we want doesn't really feel like work. When you find your passion and you find your purpose, and you were on this mission to, like, you know, really serve people and humankind, it doesn't feel, there are times, like for me, like the tedious things, like the admin stuff. Oh, I hate admin stuff, right? Right? I'm pretty sure you're there too. I know you love the creative processes of things, but the little tedious things, it feels like work. But when you're in the actual work, it doesn't feel like work.
I'll add this too. Like, so I've seen people who think they want a specific outcome or want a specific thing, but they don't want to take the actions to get there, which leads me to believe that, like, whatever they were trying to manifest wasn't aligned on a soul level in the first place, because the actions are what make up your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, okay, Rashida and I want to have a podcast that a lot of people listen to and build a community and make this part of our career. Well, we're not going to do that by sitting around and visualizing it. We have to, like, if we don't like making podcasts, then it's not the goal for us.
If we didn't like being in community, that wouldn't be the goal for us.
If we didn't like each other and talking to each other, it wouldn't be the goal for us. But it can look shiny from the outside, right? But And I would love to do another, we always talk about what other episodes we could do because we have so many things to talk about. I'd love to talk about being like an entrepreneur at some point and what it actually takes, because it's not for everybody. It can look shiny and it can look a certain way, but if it's not aligned with your soul's path, like, then it's not for you. And the actions are going to feel hard and they're going to suck.
And and it's okay that it's not for you. I think that's the
Yeah.
biggest thing. Like,
Yeah.
there's always this like polar opposite, right? Either you're working for the corporations or you're like working for yourself, but there's always somewhere in between. And maybe what supports you isn't working for yourself. And that's okay too. So I would love to like have that conversation. Absolutely, Lauren.
Yeah, for sure. And just know, like, if something like that happens, it's fine. All it is like information. So if you say you wanted the biggest and best podcast out there and you end up not liking to make podcasts, you can think like, well, what was I actually desiring from wanting this thing? Was I desiring connection? Was I desiring like to be seen? Was I desiring creativity or money? And then you can redirect to something that is more aligned for you.
I love that. Absolutely.
Yeah, so you have to do, and like I think there's a lot of like all or nothing mentality too. So people say like, oh, I gotta do it all now, and I don't know, or they don't do it at all, and there's a lot of like procrastination and this and that. And I've totally been there, especially when things haven't been totally aligned for me. But action, like I said, can mean taking small steps forward every day. Like, what's one thing you can do today to bring your manifestation more into reality, or to bring it more into this present moment, more into the material world? So for me, that looks like setting time aside every day to work on my dreams. Maybe it means like, and let's not talk about work necessarily, but if I desire like a harmonious home, that means like, even if I'm tired, I take the 10 minutes to have a nice conversation with my husband, or I like put down my phone and give my kid eye contact and play with her. It's doing those little things every day, and it's not just waiting around for things to fall into your lap.
Or thinking that the next like course or the next person is going to tell you how you can get those things, because I know that's a big thing too. Like, we love the courses and we love all the things, but you have to have the action. Like, no matter what you do and what you learn and the practices that you get from other people, one, you do have to practice them for yourself, because the way someone teaches you or that you learn might not be for you. You can always adapt things as well. But the action is where the magic happens. And that's the beauty. Like, it's all within our control. Like, that right there, the action is the magic.
Absolutely. And I had a visual of like the visualization and the manifestation practices are like adding rocket boosters to your action. Like it's going to make the action a whole lot more potent and powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, should we move on to the last step?
Yeah.
Okay, this one is so hard, in my opinion.
It's very hard.
Or at least, I guess it depends on what kind of person you are. But for me, this has always been the hardest part. But I think I'm getting better at it. It's let go of the results. So, number five, let go of the results. It's about the journey, baby. And life is no fun when we save our joy only for when we arrive at our destination. So, don't forget, it's about, like, it's cliche, but it is about the journey, not the destination. If we don't enjoy our lives, if we don't find fulfillment and love and fun and joy and all of the things that we are wanting out of like the actions to get there, what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to enjoy that boat, if you haven't been doing practices to enjoy the other things in your life leading up to it.
I feel like the reason why this is such a hard thing to let go of is, one, the conditioning that we've been a part of in society. You have to make it, right? You have to make it, and then you can. Even now, in the sense of how people are working and when they look at retirement, like, you have to work really hard now and you have to hustle and grind now and save up your money so that then you can have this life of luxury or whatever, right? I personally don't feel that way. I personally am going to go about, and me and my family, we're going to go about our lives as if we are, in a way, retired, or do the things we're not just going to wait and hold on to, because there's no point in holding or standstilling your life for this end result. Because honestly, we never know if we were ever going to make it. And like Lauren said, like, if our life is really about the journey, then we have to journey. We have to go through those things and do the things we want now. And I'm not saying in a, I can't even think of the word, but in a way that's not conducive to like your finances or whatever, like don't go out and do that, but do things in a way that is supportive for you and your family and that you can enjoy now, and don't put off the things that you want to have for some arbitrary time later when you're like 65, now 70, maybe it's going to be 75 or 80 when we get to that age of what quote unquote retirement is supposed to be. Like, that's not the dream. That's not the dream. So if you can let go of the results, you know, I want to have such and such amount of money in my bank account, you know, don't worry about the time frame. Like, you can if you're a specific manifester, but if you just let go, like, I want to have this amount of money in my bank account so that I can travel and so I can do this, what's going to happen is the universe is going to make it a way for you to, yes, have that money in your account, but it's also going to create opportunities for you to travel as well, for you to build on the relationships that you want. And that is the journey. Like, those little things are the journey. It's not that 9 to 5 work, 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 live for the weekend, drink away your sorrows, work, work, work again until some date. You know, this, your time is now, and it's valuable and it's precious. And, you know, I hate saying this, but it's true. We are not promised tomorrow.
No.
At all. And so I was thinking about this as I was, we were driving back from Detroit, when I was looking at all these accidents on the side of the road. You know, people would always say, you know, what if you die tomorrow? You know, you need to live like you're going to die tomorrow. And honestly, in the beginning or before, when I would hear that, I'd be like, dang, that's like harsh. Like, that does not like motivate me at all. Like, don't talk about that. But when now that I've like, am truly am in alignment with what I'm doing, like, it makes sense. Like, I would be so upset. I mean, I probably wouldn't be. I'd be back with source, right? But, you know, when I think about me now in this physical body, I would be so upset that I didn't do the things and didn't live my life in a way that I wanted to, because one, of what other people thought, or my limiting beliefs, or, you know, not really embodying the things that I want and think that I could have, or not feeling like I couldn't have it, right? Like, I would be so upset. So the work really is letting go of our results and just living in alignment day to day, doing the little things that Lauren says to really create the outcome and this magic of what our life is. And we're not going to know, like, 10 years from now, we don't know what that's going to look like. We can have an idea, right? But that's the magic too. Like, we ask for these things, the universe is going to make it happen for us as long as we're taking these steps to make it happen. So, I mean, I just love this topic.
Yeah, those are all such great points. Let the universe surprise you, right? And that's part of like the non-specific part too, is like, okay, I know how I want to feel. I know like what this goal is, but there's going to be things that happen along the way that are a beautiful, beautiful surprise. I'm sure we can all think of things like that in our own lives. I want to add also that like letting go or surrender is a practice of profound acceptance of the present moment.
Yeah.
Right? Which is very important. If we're in denial or in resistance to the present moment, then we are not alive and awake to the magic of the present moment. We don't see what's in front of us. We don't see like the creative potential in each moment, or the flow or the joy. And when we're in resistance, we're in this like heavy layer of conditioning of like how things should be. But this profound acceptance really aligns us with our soul, with the present, with source, with universe, and eventually it lets us like co-create whatever we're trying to manifest, I think. So if you're like, you know, resisting a change that's happening in the world, for instance, and you're trying to manifest money, maybe you're missing out on an opportunity that's right in front of you. Or maybe you're missing out on the abundance that's all around you anyway, right now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the surrender is so important. There's a reason that surrender is a part of like every spiritual tradition and practice ever, because we can't find joy without it. Things are beyond our control at times. So I think finding that like beautiful balance between like control and surrender is a big part of the manifestation practice. It's all what we've been talking about today. And it's not easy necessarily. It takes practice. But man, it's really gratifying. And I'll say, like, going through these five steps and more, this works. I've been doing it for many years. I have a beautiful life that really is beyond what I imagined at a certain point. And now I'm like, thank you. Yes, more, please. I'm ready for more. But it definitely has taken being able to surrender, to be present, and to, like, on the other hand, show up for myself every single day in some little way or in a big way, depending on the day. Yeah, those are my ramblings.
No, but it's so true, Lauren. And I really appreciate you like actually saying like, I love the life that I've manifested, because I think sometimes too, we always hear the opposite of, you know, what's not there, you know, really sitting in that appreciation of what we do have, what we already have manifested for ourselves, even if we were not aware, right, of the fact that we were manifesting, is a practice in itself. And I know you will always go through the practice of surrendering, that Lauren was talking about. You will feel like you've gotten to a place that you're like ready, and you're ready to allow, and things are going to happen. And then bam, like you're forced to like really tap into your practice of surrendering again. I know Lauren helped me out with that before. You know, I've talked about this business that my husband and I are creating and have started, and then we got pregnant and it could not happen. And I was having a hard time. And Lauren reminded me, you know, you just have to surrender to this moment, Rashida. And you know what? Now, 5 months later, you know, 5 months postpartum, like, I don't imagine this life that I'm creating without my son, right? But I was resistant. I was upset at first. I was like semi-angry, you know? And I think too, that was a lesson in itself. That yes, I'm saying that I am open for receiving, and I'm open and I'm allowing, but I wasn't there yet. Mm-hmm. And that had to get put in my face. Now, I'm not going to say that that's going to show up for everybody. You get a pregnancy out of that to learn that lesson. But that was just my personal journey, right? So yeah, Lauren, thank you so much for talking about this. I feel like you really broke this down in ways that are tangible. And, you know, For me, the biggest takeaway, and I wish I would have had this conversation when I was first looking into manifesting, was you do still have to take the actions. It just doesn't, you know, like Harry Potter, just doesn't pop up in front of you. And if it did, like, where is the fun in that? Like, if you think about it, like, where is the fun in that? And I do feel like since we're going a little deep here, when we go back to source, like, anything we want and desire is already there. We already have access to that. And that's why we're here on this planet to actually do the actions to get the things that we want. And that's the beauty. And that's the magic in it, that we get to physically like say, this is what I want, and do the actions and allow it to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. It reminds me of something Abraham Hicks says in humans love big problems because they love big solutions. And I'm paraphrasing, but we love puzzles. We like to figure things out.
Yeah.
it's part of like why we chose to incarnate. So I guess accept that as part of the fun, but also bring in the magic.
Absolutely.
So let's go over the five steps real quick, and then we'll wrap up. Sounds good?
Yeah, sounds okay. Great.
Great. So number one is visualize your manifestation. Two is don't just think about what you're manifesting. Allow your body to feel the emotions and sensations as though your manifestations are already reality. So in other words, embody your manifestation. Number three is use your power to serve humanity. Number four is let your vision become action. And number five is let go of the results. So that is our manifestation process for now.
Yeah. I'm sure, and this is probably will evolve, absolutely. Yes. But we would love on our post on Instagram to see and for you to share, what are you currently manifesting in your life right now as we're stepping into this 2023 year? Everything is open, you know, the portal is here of new beginnings, and we would love to know what you are currently calling in for your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And bring some nuance into the conversation. I think it's important that we talk about this on a really deep level that's beyond, like, you know, however many characters you can fit into social media. So feel free to email us. Let us know what you think. We have our email in the show notes. But for sure, interact with us online, and we'd love to talk about this more.
Absolutely. Well, Lauren, as ever, I appreciate you. Your beauty and your wisdom is always amazing and needed in this world. And I cannot wait to see what conversation we have next.
Yeah, same friend. This was so much fun. And I love manifesting with you.
Aw, I love you.
All right. Talk soon. Love ya.
Love you, bestie. Bye. Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast. And be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.